trees.
That was the harrowing sound of a Santa fight. A cruel blood sport which pits two men dressed as Santa Claus against each other in a fight to the death. Organised by gangs of criminals, tens of thousands of pounds at a time can ride on the outcome of these cruel battles to the death. The gangs recruit itinerant Santas from the street, keeping them caged up for several days, systematically poking them with Christmas trees, whipping them with holly and burning them with Christmas lights so as to work them into a fighting frenzy. The fights themselves, publicised via social networking sites and word of mouth, are held in empty warehouses and derelict factories, often with hundreds of baying spectators egging on their favoured Santa to kill his opponent. Earlier today, the Metropolitan Police announced that it had broken up one of the largest of these Santa fighting rings, making over 50 arrests, including those of the gang's leaders. Nevertheless, they warned that although this gang has been taken down, the problem of illegal Santa fighting. Chief Inspector Jim Bobler of Scotland Yard's Seasonal Crime Squad has sat through hundreds of hours of illicitly filmed footage of the fights during the course of this investigation and shares with us tonight some of the horrific things he has seen.
The bare knuckle fights were bad enough, but the ones where they're allowed to use Christmas-themed weapons were the most disturbing. Trust me, you don't want to see one white-bearded old man trying to strangle another with a string of tinsel, or trying to stuff his opponent like a turkey. And in the raid today in Rotherhithe on a Santa fight, we arrived just in time. The two found the Christmases armed with carving knives were locked in deadly combat as we arrived, cheered on by a bloodthirsty crowd. When we arrived, one of the Santas had disarmed his opponent and was basting him prior to carving him up.
Hi, I'm Sarah Slees, Suze's English cousin, with an in-depth news report on the latest menace to hit our busy high streets this Christmas. With the festive shopping season in full swing, parents are being warned of the threat posed by rogue Santas. One of these jokers could easily ruin a child's Christmas, warns Derek Trilby, of Staines Trading Standards. Any kiddie visiting the makeshift grottos set up by these bastards is bound to be disappointed, fobbed off with some crappy piece of shit from a pound store in lieu of a proper present and a grainy out-of-focus photo with Santa taken on a mobile phone. Whilst most rogue Santas set up their grottos in the most unfashionable corners of shopping centres and retail parks, fleeing at the first sign of security guards, at least one recently succeeded in infiltrating a department store, deceiving staff into believing that he had official status. He strolled in one morning with his elf and Rudolph the reindeer and set up his grotto under the main staircase and started charging £5 for each kiddie, recalls Mandy Krogler, assistant manager of the popular Bracknell department store. We just assumed that he'd been sent down by head office. Problems soon began to emerge. We quickly noticed a damp patch on the trousers of his costume, Krogler says. At first we assumed that one of the children had wet themselves whilst sitting on his lap, however, it turned out that he had pissed himself. We later had a complaint from a parent that, after her daughter had sat on Santa's lap, she couldn't get the pungent stench of urine out of her child's clothes. On another occasion, parents complained when they walked into the grotto to find Father Christmas taking a pee behind an artificial Christmas tree. There were also complaints that Santa kept trying to persuade kiddies' mothers and older sisters to sit on his lap and make a wish. It was also alleged that Santa attempted to beg money to buy alcohol from parents coming through his grotto. He apparently flew into a rage with one couple who refused to pay him and chased them out of the grotto shouting "bastards," whilst throwing Christmas presents and decorations after them. In another incident, the grotto had to be closed all afternoon after Santa broke wind violently after a 3-hour lunchtime drinking session. The stench was so noxious the polystyrene snow melted and the needles fell off of three Christmas trees, all of them artificial, Krogler claims. It took four industrial fans on full power for 6 hours to clear the smell. When the grotto reopened the next day, parents were shocked to find Santa naked apart from his red hat and some wrapping paper around his nether regions. "Don't worry, it's business as usual," he told them. "I've just had a bitten accident and the costume is in the wash." Curiously, parents were reluctant to let their children sit on his knee. There were also accusations that he had stolen some of the presents he was meant to be handing out and had sold them for beer money. One parent complained that his 7-year-old son was highly upset when he opened his gift, only to find that it contained an empty vodka bottle, recalls Krogler. Another claimed that her child had had a violent asthma attack after finding that her present contained an unspeakably soiled pair of underpants. Santa's behavior at the staff Christmas party proved to be his undoing. He became so drunk that he attempted to shag Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer in the grotto, shouting, "It'll be more than your nose that's red after this, you horny bastard," before throwing up into his beard and collapsing. It took paramedics called by worried store staff 3 hours to remove the vomit from his beard, says Krogler. Unfortunately for him, the area manager was at the party. He started tearing a strip off of the store manager for employing a derelict as Santa. Of course, the store manager denied employing him, saying he'd been sent by head office. It was then that they realized he was an unofficial rogue Santa. Consequently, Santa found himself out on the street 3 days before Christmas. That's all for now. More sensationalist news as we get it.
When the snowman brings the snow, well, he just might like to know he's put a great big smile on somebody's face. If you jump into your bed, quickly cover up your head. Don't you lock the doors. You know that sweet Santa Claus is on the way. Well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. When the kids start singing and the band begins to play. Oh, I wish it could be Christmas every day. So let the bells ring out for Christmas. When you're skating in the park, if the snow cloud makes it dark, then your rosy cheeks are gonna light my merry way. Now the frosty paws appear, and they've frozen up my ear, so we'll lie by the fire till the sleet simply knocks them all away. Well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. When the kids start singing, and the band begins to play, oh, I wish it could be Christmas every day, so let the bells ring out for Christmas. When the snowman brings the snow, well, he just might like to know he's put a great big smile on somebody's face. So if Santa brings that sleigh along the Milky Way, I'll sign my name on the rooftop in the snow that he may decide to stay. Well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. When the kids start singing and the band begins to play, oh, I wish it could be Christmas every day. So let the bells ring out for Christmas.
Now with Christmas, I say, it's become a blight on our high streets. And it's so bloody repetitive. It's the same every year, but worse. Can't we let off Christmas for 1 year for good behaviour? I mean, just look at this overpriced tat. What are these bloody German sausages got to do with Christmas? In fact, what has Germany got to do with Christmas either? Just because Santa Claus is allegedly German, that's no excuse. He's probably a bloody war criminal anyway. One good thing comes out of Brexit, these sodding foreign markets stop coming over here trying to shove their heathen Christmases down our throats.
We're here in Crawley, in annual Crawley German Christmas market, with Arthur Ardon, dubbed by the press as the man who hates Christmas. He, of course, shot to fame after punching out the conductor of a Salvation Army band playing in his town centre. I mean, in his defence, he told us that the incident occurred after he'd been pushed over the edge by the stress of trying to shop in the face of the encroaching festive season.
Why, year after year, lest we have to contend with crowds of people in the streets whose spending is only dwarfed by their rudeness. And finally, you get to the shop only to find what you wanted to buy is not being stocked anymore, just so they can fit in more of the shite seasonal lines. I mean, that's what happened to me the day I slapped that bloody woman. I mean, look, it should stand as a warning to anybody wishing me an unprovoked Merry Christmas. Besides, it's only a bloody tap. She went down like she had a glass jaw. I mean, arguably, it wasn't my fault at all. If she wasn't meant to have been filled in at that moment, surely it would have been a divine intervention. I ask you, where was her God at that moment, eh? Had he jetted off to warmer climes for the holidays? Or perhaps he was doing his Christmas shopping, eh?
But you must remember that whilst we might have taken out one of the main gangs, Santa fighting is a recurrent problem. I mean, it's a seasonal thing. From mid-November onwards, the Santas start to appear, selling mangy Christmas trees on street corners, collecting for dubious charities, and making personal appearances in shopping centres. The gangs usually lure them into their web of violence with the offer of a glass of sherry and a couple of mince pies. If that doesn't work, then a handful of small change usually does the trick.
The chief inspector explained that the fights tend to reach a climax just before Christmas, when the Santas are still in plentiful supply, often lingering into early January, when there are still a few stray Santas about, desperate for work. However, it isn't just St. Nick who can fall prey to these unscrupulous gangs around the festive season.
We've had numerous cases of elf-related cruel sports, including elf coursing, where they're chased by dogs, and even elf tossing. And we've heard from our colleagues over in Ireland, there have been reports of youths on Dublin housing estates stealing Santa's reindeer and riding around the streets in illicit races. I mean, we've got to remember as well that Christmas isn't the only religious festival which attracts the organisers of these illegal blood sports. I mean, earlier this year, my squad were instrumental in breaking up an illegal bus Easter bunny shoot in Kent. And it's not just seasonal characters that these gangs force into illegal fights. I mean, outside of the usual religious festivals, we're known to organise contests between football mascots and even fast food icons. I mean, only last year we raided a big money fight between Ronald McDonald and Burger King. Whilst the Ronald McDonald was later successfully returned to the wild, the Burger King, sadly, had to be put down as a result of his injuries.
I haven't always hated Christmas, you know. I mean, when I was a child and adolescent, I enjoyed the season and joyfully participated in all its rituals. But, you know, like everyone, the luster began to wear off as I became an adult. But it wasn't so much growing up that killed Christmas for me. It was political factors. I mean, I'm afraid that Christmas was ruined back in the 1980s by Thatcher and her government. I mean, I remember when the Union of Shop Santas came out in support of the miners, were chased down by police on horses and beaten with sticks during an attempt to stop blackleg Santas entering Selfridges in Oxford Street. I mean, you know, I was an eyewitness to these shocking events, which, as we know, ultimately led to the breaking of the Santas Union. I mean, I was on a shopping trip to London when, by chance, I saw all these coppers in full riot gear beating the crap out of these striking Santas with their batons. It was appalling to see such violence on the streets of our capital. Striking Santas were defenceless. They're trying to protect themselves with sacks full of badly wrapped presents. But it's no good. They're all dragged off to the cells. And of course, after the defeat of the Santas Union, it just paved the way for all those foreign Santas and elves which have flooded our shopping malls and stores since then.
Well, it happened last Christmas. I mean, looking back now, it's hard to believe that actually happened. It seems like a dream, a very bad dream. But anyway, as I say, it was last Christmas. You know, my wife and the kids, we'd finished putting up the tree, and we'd settle down in front of the box to, I guess, sort of spend the evening watching television. You know, as you do at that time of year, all those Christmas specials, you know, all that tinsel and stuff. Anyway, you know, there we were, sat there, and suddenly we all found ourselves gripped by these awful headaches. I mean, it felt like my brains were being sucked out of my head. Seriously, you know, and the next thing I knew, my limbs were like lead. I could barely move. We were all struggling desperately to remain conscious. And then this sort of terrible pain, this fog of pain, I realised that something was amiss with that Christmas tree. And somehow I managed to turn my head to look at it. And I tell you, what I saw there horrified me. I mean, for one thing, the tree's lights were ablaze. And I tell you something, it hadn't been plugged in. But worse than that, there was something growing from its branches. I mean, they were hanging there like grotesque, outsized decorations. Perfect replicas of myself, my wife, and my children. I tell you, I was just shocked. I mean, they still weren't full-sized, but they already showed signs of life. As I looked at it, the replica of me opened its eyes and stared back. Oh, I can't tell you, just, oh, it's mind-boggling. The horror of it, the horror. I mean, somehow, some kind of Herculean effort. I don't know whether it's an adrenaline rush or some deep survival instinct. I mean, even though I was terrified, I just managed to haul myself out of that chair and crawled on my hands and knees towards that accursed tree. And so I managed to grab a piece of tinsel, and I somehow I fused the tree's lights. I mean, the bulbs exploded, igniting the tree's branches. And there was blazing away in the corner of the living room. But as it blazed, we felt ourselves released from its evil clutches. But it wasn't over. The horror wasn't over. And I tell you, as the flames engulfed the replicas of us, they opened their mouths in unison and emitted a horrible, horrible scream. I mean, to this day, I don't know what was going on there. I mean, obviously, I mean, no one would believe us. No one would believe it. I mean, you know, I tell you, I tried going to the police, but what happened was the bastards breathalyzed me. They had me examined by a psychiatrist. I mean, then they reported me to social service. I had bloody welfare officers around assessing whether my children are at risk. Not from Christmas trees, but from me, for God's sake. I mean, really? I mean, what was going on? I mean, I have some theories. I mean, you know, perhaps this tree, it was some kind of product of an alien intelligence, perhaps, you know. They're trying to replace us all, like in that Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something. I don't know. But I have heard rumours on the net that the threat lies closer to home. These trees, they've been genetically modified by a cartel of international capitalists to create a race of subservient, perfect consumers. I mean, although Christmas is traditionally the business time of year for sales, the past few have been disappointing. What better way could there be to boost profits than to create an artificial, all-year-round Christmas with mindless, free-spending replicants to boost sales to insane levels, eh? I tell you, though, there's only one way we can avoid this catastrophe. Just grab it. If you've got a Christmas tree in a house now, just grab an axe or a chainsaw and chop the bloody thing down. Take it to the garden and burn it, because I'm telling you now, since that day, I have never allowed a single bloody Christmas decoration in my house. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow! It doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow! Let it snow! Let it snow! When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you will really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying. And my dear, we're still goodbying, but as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow!
frick carol singers. Why? They don't even have the good grace to be able to sing in tune anymore. That surely should be a problem if you want to be paid, shouldn't it? And again, have you seen the level of talent on the bloody X Factor? I mean, Simon Cowell, how can you live with yourself? If you had an ounce of decency in you, you would right now, on live TV, nail your own bollocks onto a wooden table and apologise for peddling such total wank at entertainment for so many years. Not to mention the way the bastard keeps trying to co-op the Christmas number one. Every year. For the winner of his abominable TV programme. It's meant to be for novelty songs, which might be shit, but are at least entertaining. Unlike any of the records put out by the contestants on his bloody programme. I mean, last year I got so frustrated by the poor quality of our local carol singers that I threw dog excrement at a group of children who called at my house. I mean, it was worth the fine and a police caution, I can tell you. Little bastards will think twice before knocking on my door, demanding money with menaces in the form of a threat to sing carols badly this year, eh?
Despite the police's condemnation of Santa fighting, those behind the sport have defended it, claiming they're actually providing a vital public service. Indeed, we were contacted by someone who claims to have been deeply involved in the whole Santa fighting movement and who wished to remain anonymous. However, he did tell us,
"What people don't seem to realise is that these creatures are vermin. Oh, I know that they seem very cute and appealing, with the festive connection and the present giving, but believe me, they're an absolute menace. If we didn't organise these events, will you, they'd run amok. Make no mistake, our shopping centres and high streets would be overrun by these red-clad, white-bearded bastards, ringing bells, selling tatty Christmas trees, and filling up kiddies in the department store grotto so we don't keep their numbers under control. I mean, if we didn't organise these Santa fights, then far less humane methods would have to be employed to keep Santa numbers manageable every December. At least with the fights, they have a chance. One of them gets away. A few years ago in Redditch, for instance, after the cops had run the Santa fighting gangs out of town in the autumn, they found themselves engulfed by the festive fiends. They had to cull them. Hunters were brought in to shoot them down in the street and shopping malls in front of screaming kiddies. It was hell. At least we don't let children in to see our fights, boyo. Seeing that sort of stuff could traumatise them for life."
Not surprisingly, the Royal Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Cultural Icons, the RSPCCI, has little sympathy with this perspective. With RSPCCI Inspector Sally Winstrop telling us,
"This sort of thing really has to be stamped out. There could be no place in a civilised society for this sort of cruel blood sport which pits poor, dumb, seasonal characters against each other. Frankly, I blame things like the X Factor for making people think that the exploitation for entertainment of the desperate and untalented is acceptable. And to be quite frank, I fear that unless the Santa fighting is curbed, Britain risks having another of its festive traditions driven to extinction. I mean, left to their own devices, they're shy and gentle creatures, which only are seen only once a year. They need to be nurtured and cared for. We need to remember that Santas really are only for Christmas."
And I'll tell you another bloody thing that ruins Christmas these days. Those bloody supposed Christmas theme parks, you know, these winter wonderlands you can take your kids to and you can meet Santa and pet reindeer and all that sort of thing. Well, I tell you, I went with my brother's kids to one last year, and we saw advertised, or at least my brother saw advertised on the internet, and it looked great in the pictures. Loads of snow, authentic nativity scene, elves, Santa, the lot. I tell you, when we reached the address given on the tickets we bought online, it turned out to be a bloody shed, a shed in someone's back garden. It was covered in shredded polystyrene ceiling tiles, masquerading as snow, and the nativity scene inside consisted of the virgin fork, the baby trowel, and the three wise shovels. Oh, the day we were there, a riot broke out. It all kicked off when a kiddie was having his photo taken with Santa in his grotto, which looked like a compost heap to me, and was bitten by one of the reindeer, which were actually a couple of banshee-looking dogs with cardboard antlers tied to their ears. I mean,
The father went berserk and it all got out of hand. It only calmed down when Santa collapsed with a suspected coronary as he'd been beaten with a Christmas tree.
God rest ye merry, gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Saviour was born on Christmas Day. He saved us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy! In Bethlehem, in Israel, this blessed babe was born, and laid within a manger upon this blessed morn, the witch's mother Mary did nothing take in scorn. O tidings of comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy! From God, our heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. O tidings of comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy! Fear not then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Saviour of a pure virgin right, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. O tidings of comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. The shepherds at those tidings rejoice much in mind, and let their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway, the Son of God to find. O tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. And when they came to Bethlehem, where our dear Saviour lay, they found him in a manger where oxen feed on hay. His mother Mary kneeling down until the Lord did pray. O tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. Now, to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas, all other doth deface, O tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy.
So a few paying customers got a bit arsy when they decided they'd been ripped off, but that was no excuse for attacking Santa. Who incidentally was being played by my 74-year-old father? And even worse, beating up elves. I mean, it's just typical bloody bullies, afraid to pick on someone their own size. I mean, all I was trying to do there with the seasonal shed was trying to fill in the gap in the crappy Christmas attractions market that's been created by the demise of various other of these attractions. I mean, they've become a Christmas tradition in themselves, haven't they? I mean, you know, I'm just trying to cater to what people apparently want. And not only that, to be absolutely frank with this instance, I really do think the people who got upset were missing the point of the seasonal shed experience. It was meant to be a rip-off, just like Christmas itself. It truly was a Christmas theme park, in that it promised much and behind its glitzy exterior, but once unwrapped, proved to be nothing more than a pair of old socks and a Cliff Richard album. So, just like Christmas.
Sleaze.
Pass.